his host and gathered in his name to worship him. We are coming to his house and gathered in his name to worship Christ the Lord. Worship him,
First of all, I'd like to thank all the fathers here this morning. Say happy Father's Day, Grandfather's Day, whichever it may be. But the good Lord graced us all with fathers, and I know we all love them, think about them all the time. Let us stand for the invocation. Be all. All-knowing God, we thank you that you can satisfy our every desire and need. Your word says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, a confidence in things that cannot be seen. And please help us to look beyond these things through your eyes so we can see the truth in you. May Christ dwell in our heart through faith so that we bring good rooted and grounded in love. May we have strength to know the love of Christ that suppresses knowledge. And may we be filled with all the fullness of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated temporarily. At this time, as Brother Jimmy said, it is Father's Day, and we would like to honor those of you, our men, in our congregation for Father's Day. Doesn't necessarily mean you have to be a father. We just want to make sure that you're honored for everything that you've done. And it looks like the kids have all left me, so I guess I'll be doing this for myself. What a clue, Michelle. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
What do I want to do? Yes,
except that's really good. Thank you.
As we sing Faith of Our Fathers.
Faith of Our Fathers.
I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the forgiveness of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I lost my way here. Excuse me. Let's begin with, do we have any joys or concerns this morning?
Friday morning.
Oh.
So please remember her family in
the prayers. Thank you. Anyone else? Let us bow our heads. Dear God, we pray for those who are needing hope, strength, and encouragement. Please minister to them now. So we pray that you would work in their hearts. Father, that you would dry their tears and take away all their fears. Be their healer, comforter, and provider. You know who is struggling, Lord, and you know each one by name. So please have compassion and mercy, and may they feel your presence like never before. And now let us pray the prayer that your Son Jesus Christ taught us to pray. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And I know y'all take take it up at the door as you come in, so, okay. But now let's bow our heads. I'd like to do an offertory prayer. It says, Lord, with your wealth, Father, we praise you, almighty name. You have blessed our nation with immense wealth and opportunities. Lord, you have commanded us to honor you with our wealth. And we pray that you will be honored greatly this day as we give to you what is already yours. So bless these cheerful givers and bless the tithes and offerings that they give. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now and forever after. Amen. Well, good morning once again.
Good morning.
The scripture this morning is going to be, it's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 12 through 20. But I'm going to extend that out to chapter 24 also, because it has a little something to do with what I want to talk about. Y'all got to forgive me here. I forgot where I put everything. It says the title of the sermon is When You're Misunderstood. And before I get to reading, has anybody here ever heard about assimilation? You ever heard that word before? I just learned about it myself. It's when you assume bad things about people that's not really there and what it does. Well, that's basically where I'm kind of going this morning. But the postponement of Paul's visit in verse 12 says, indeed, this is our boast, the testimony of our conscience. We have behaved in the world with frankness and godly sincerity, not by earthly wisdom, but by the grace of God, and all the more toward you, for we write you nothing other than what you can read and also understand. I hope you will understand until the end, as you have already understood us in part, that on the day of the Lord Jesus, we are your boast, even as you are our boast. So since I was sure of this, I wanted to come to you first so that you might have a double favor. I wanted to visit you on the way to Macedonia and to come back to you from Macedonia and have you send me on to Judea. Was I vacillating when I wanted to do this? Do I make my plans according to ordinary human deeds or standards and ready to say yes, yes, and no, no? So at the same time, so surely as God is faithful, our word to you has been yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, whom we proclaim among you, Silvanus and Timothy and I, was not yes and no, but in him it is always yes. For in him every one of God's promises is a yes. For this reason, it is through him that we say the amen to the glory of God. But it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us by putting his seal on us, giving us his Spirit in our hearts as a first installment. But I call on God as witnesses against me, to witness against me as it was to spare you that I did not come again to Corinth. I do not mean to imply that we lord it over your faith rather than we workers with you for your joy, because you stand firm in the faith. So that's Paul's letter back in Corinthians. And you know, Paul, when he was away, we had a lot of stuff happen to him. And kind of goes back to the question I asked a while ago about assimilation. Assimilation is something happens when you say something bad about somebody, or you assume something bad happened about somebody, or somebody said something about you. So I discovered this word. It's only been about a week or so, browsing through some stuff. So what happens when you make false assumptions about others so that you can portray them? You want to portray them in the worst possible way you can when you do this. And we're all pretty much guilty of it at some point in our life. Maybe at some point each day that we do, somebody may say something to hurt our feelings, being misunderstood. So when we portray them in the worst possible light, and a gentleman named Michael Andreas says that we as humans do this all the time, every day, whether we say it or we think it, but we do it. So it's something that I think we need probably all work on, because as we go, you'll see in through here what the effects it has on people. But it says we are so prone to be suspicious of everybody, everything. And when we become offended or hurt, we immediately begin to look at evidence that someone did us wrong. So when something happens to you and somebody's around, you ever look at them and just be mad at that person for unknowingly reason because they probably made this happen? I mean, I've done that to my wife, turn around, I didn't say nothing, I didn't do that, you did it. Somebody, I got to blame somebody else, you know what I'm saying? And that's, there again, you're assuming and you're blaming. So, like I said, I've done it so many times in my marriage. I can't tell you how many times in my marriage I've done it. Or raising our children, grandchildren, helping with the grandchildren. And but I can tell you this much. I know how many times it's been done to me. Because, see, I kind of keep record of all that stuff. To a point. I mean, I don't really keep it, being a little bit facetious, but I remember things. So-and-so did me this years ago, you know, and you got to forgive them and we forgive each other, but it'll come back. But it's amazing to know how often and quick I still am to do this assimilation, because it's kind of, a habit. After you do it so long, you do it all your life, you do it unconsciously. But I still catch myself, even at church sometimes. Well, you know, so-and-so did that, and they said, did I really hear them say it? Or I'm just assuming, being per the conversation, that they said this. Maybe they did. So we got to watch what we say. So a suicide leads to the death of relationships because we end up believing the worst about people and the things that we say they did or we think they did. So, and we've all been guilty of drawing wrong conclusions on the basis of tiny scraps of evidence. And that's what it is, the tiny scraps. Things like, he didn't call me back, so, I guess he didn't want to really talk to me. I think she's trying to ignore me. My wife does that, God love her all the time. And I sometimes understand why. Other times, I just can't put a finger on it, because what I got to say is important. She don't think so, so. But anyway, and if y'all ever meet her, don't tell her I even mentioned you. They never hire people like me. Well, what is wrong with you? You have no self-confidence. That's an assumption of yourself. The church, you have this one I love. That church was so unfriendly. You ever had that happen? You go to some another church to visit. They stare at you. Some people will come up, introduce themselves, talk to you, but majority won't. And that Joyce and I, my wife, we go visit churches all the time, whether they're Baptist, Methodist, just visiting, just seeing how things go and meeting people. And I used to say that all the time. Boy, if people didn't speak, they were unfriendly. Is it because of my size? I'm bald head? I'm ugly? What? My wife says, you didn't talk to them. Something small. You know, I assumed that they had it in for me. So I was going to get even. How could he be a Christian and act like that? I hear that too. I'm not going to say where, but sometimes my wife can't act like a fool. And sometimes I do it just to aggravate her. But I saw her in a bar. She must have had a drinking problem. Well, folks, you know, I don't patronize bars and stuff, but there may have been instances where you have to go in and get somebody, help somebody, do something. That don't mean you got a drinking problem. People don't know that. They assume it because of where you're at and where they see you. I bet they're sleeping together. So they've been married 50 years. I mean, you know, he's going to hear all kinds of stuff. He's probably a jerk at home, too. I'm going to leave that one alone. I could get in trouble with that one. I don't like him. I don't know him. I just don't like him. You ever meet people like that? You think there's something about this person? Boy, he look mean or suspicious. I don't think I like this guy. That's an assumption that's going to get you in big trouble because you may be passing or missing out on a great relationship with a great person. Did you talk to a person? Did you ask them, are they a Christian? They may be a big Christian. Could have been a minister dressed up in, you know, ministers like to ride motorcycles too. You might see them in their leathers one day. Don't mean they're bad people. She's full of herself. Well, I think we're all a little bit full of ourselves, so I'm going to let that one go. But you can't trust someone who dresses like that. Well, if we judged everybody by the way we dress, we wouldn't have anybody around us. We wouldn't have friends. We wouldn't have a church. He's a hypocrite. Could be, but you know we're all a little bit of a hypocrite down inside somewhere. We got a little bit in us everywhere. But on the other hand, we are the victims of a suicide. And it's very hard to fight back against false accusations when they're made against you. So few things hurt more than being misunderstood by our close friends. That gets a little deep. When somebody you think you're really close with and had this friendship with, they say something about you, or somebody said, well, so-and-so said this about you. And a lot of times when that happens, it's something that's not good or bad. It's that somebody making a statement, and the words get twisted. How many times you had conversations, words got twisted, it got back to somebody else, you had an argument with them? All because of somebody assumed. So how do you respond to assumptions? Well, honestly, you just tell the truth. You be honest about it all, about everything. So when you misunderstand people, it tells a great deal, or when you get misunderstood, it tells a great deal about your Christian faith, what you're made up of in here as far as your walk with Jesus Christ. And when we face it, we face faith. Sometimes it's real hard times. Faith is not always easy, but we have it. So we've all been guilty of drawing wrong conclusions on the basis of tiny scraps of evidence. And once that comes out of your mouth, it's hard to pull it back in. I fight that every day. So our passage here begins with us face to face with a strange situation that at first glance doesn't seem to be too bad, or you would think, but the Apostle Paul found himself in trouble with the church in Corinth. While he was gone, a group of people got together, and most of them were the local priests that were there, and they were really jealous. Paul had started a new church. He was ministering to the people and you know, turning some of these people into ministers and priests in Corinth, and got the church going up and running. Well, the locals really didn't like that, the local pastors and the local priest, I'm going to say. So they started this fascist rumor about Paul, which is, and rumors are very hard to get around, because especially if you're not there to defend it. But we know that Paul spent, from Acts 18, he spent actually 18 months in Corinth building the church, ministering to these people, turned them into Christians, got everything up and running. And then Paul had to leave. Paul had a lot of stuff coming against him and the people he had been ministering to, some bad things. And so Paul felt at that time it was best for him to leave Corinth, and that they would come after him and leave the prisoners in Corinth alone. And he was gone for a long time, but he kept writing back to him, I'm coming. And so there was a fascist arose throughout the church. All these people, these local priests and all, had got such a rumor going that Paul was just guilty. Now that he's guilty because he had the whole congregation turned against him. And, you know, they were telling people, how could he be? He claims to be an apostle. He's not a real apostle. If he was a real apostle, how could he say he's going to do something? How can he can say he's coming back, but he never shows up? And see, now that right there says a lot about our character, especially if you are a minister, if you lead music or teacher, whatever your profession might be, or just being a human being, is we have to be honest and truthful with people. But when we say we're going to do something, do it. That's the best way to get next to people, to banish any bad thoughts that they may have about you. Now, what they're not realizing is Paul was still Paul. And he canceled his visits back to Corinth because of the situations that he knew about. And he didn't want to bring any more anguish on his people than he had to. So the chief complaint really about Paul, like I said, was because They felt like he couldn't be trusted because he changed his travel plans not once but twice. Well, I'm glad they don't live in this day and age because, man, everybody would be in trouble the way things change. So here again, it started over something very minute and very small. And that's how it usually happens. Somebody didn't greet us in the hallway. They didn't answer our email. They didn't invite us to their party. Or they didn't show up for an appointment. All we heard, they said something about us. That's the one that would probably the worst, get somebody really mad. And they said something negative about us. Yeah, that's going to happen no matter how good you think you are. It's going to be something negative said about you. Or they didn't laugh at our jokes, or they suddenly seemed cold when they used to be glad to see us. You ever do that? What about somebody you've known for years, even maybe at church? You say, good morning, how you doing? They don't say anything. What do you think? Most of us think, like it says here, you know, they're mad at us or something happened. But we got to look on the inside. Maybe this person's just having a bad day. They feel bad. There's something on their mind. We don't think about that. We go right to the negative. So there again, it's the little things, small stuff, and these petty complaints people make. So from a tiny spark of discontent, we draw this mighty, mighty flame, which turns into a forest fire if we don't get it under control. All because of assimilations. So there again, what's going on? Okay, say in our church right now, let's look at the split. It's something going on in our church, and we've heard about it for several years. And actual congregations, not just ours, but over the years, have split. And that's a good thing and it's a bad thing. But it started off with the small stuff, which is the same way it went with ours. It started off with something here, and now it's gotten bigger than a wildfire, and it's taken off. But so let's check the passage, see how Paul responded when he started responding back to him. And, you know, our actions are going to be questioned. It's always so. From careful readings of 1 and 2 Corinthians, it happens that Paul made three different decisions about his trip to Corinth. First of all, he planned to go to Macedonia and then to Corinth. So we find that in 1 Corinthians 16:5-7, he plans to pass through Macedonia and hopes to spend the winter with the Corinthians. So he doesn't want it to be a brief visit. He wants to spend the winter with them because Paul wants to continue his teaching with them and his ministry through them and helping them to build the church and still grow it. But so he qualifies this saying, you know, he says now, and this would be an opening for him, maybe I'm not going to be there, is if the Lord permits. And see, and you don't, when they were spreading rumors about him, they didn't tell everything that actually happened, which it never does. You hear what they want you to hear. So in Corinthians 16:7, but that trip never took place. So he later planned to go to Corinth, then to Macedonia, and then back to Corinth. So he mentions this in 2 Corinthians 1:15-16. So finally, he decides to postpone this trip altogether because he says, I decided that I would not bring you grief with another painful visit. See, that's where he knew what was happening to the people. They were being thrown in prison. Some of them had been massacred. And Paul knew they were going to kill him. So he did what he felt was right, was not to bring them any more grief, that they wouldn't have to worry about this. But, you know, the way this all really got run out of proportion again was Paul's enemies or his opponents grew this thing by steadily pumping it into his congregation and his people about his plans being canceled, and they was constantly attacking him. And they always, and then the worst thing that I think, one of the things they were saying about him was you just can't trust him, and they kept telling it till people believed it. So the problem isn't that keeping your word is hugely important for us, but especially for spiritual leaders, ministers, priests, lay leaders, whoever it may be, when you say you're going to do it, you do it. You want to build some integrity. You want to build consistency. You want, first of all, you really have to improve yourself, prove yourself trustworthy to your congregations and your neighbors and your communities, that you are who you are and you are who you are in Christ. But when I tell you that I'm coming to your house, I'm coming to your house, I'm coming to the hospital, I'm coming to visit, show up, be there, and do what you need to do. So that's not really a big problem. Keeping your word is the most important thing we could do, really. Just keep your word, be trustworthy, be honest. And when you want to keep your word, usually important for all of us, but especially for spiritual leaders. There again, I put that in there twice for some reasons. I have had, since I've been with the Methodist Church, no ministers here, but I was born and raised a Catholic, and the Catholic Church at that time was going astray, I think. Saw priests do stuff I didn't think a priest should do and say, and so I left the church. And the people in the communities thought they were just blessed, that they were great, but when you see them behind scenes going to the horse track and drinking a little alcohol, smoking, doing whatever, that was a no-no. And when you serve on the altar, as I did as a kid, as an altar boy, you were taught different. So you start seeing these people in a different light. And I got to the point as a child that I didn't want to go to church. I didn't want to be around them. And for the first time in my life, I said something one day that was not an assimilation. And years later, my daddy realized what it was. But you know, sometimes we get a lot of things going. But right here, I think, and with this, we could add a new beatitude to this. And that would be saying that blessed is the man who has nothing to hide. And that is so true. If we are honest about everything we do or say, we don't have anything to worry about. That's what Christ wants. So, simply speaking, the truth about your own heart is the best thing we can do. It's not enough to talk for hours. You and I can sit here and debate something for hours. It's not going to do a bit of good. If we're not open and honest and trustworthy, we might as well go home, because it's not going to happen. So I'd like for everybody to be able to go home at night in the afternoon and look in that mirror and say, I said what I said, I told the truth, and my soul is at rest. If you go home and say that every day, you're okay. But if you go home and look in that mirror and you hesitate, you just got to back up and start thinking about some other things. See, our words, like I said a while ago, will be twisted. So Paul doesn't try to hide the change of plans. It's true that he had changed his mind several times, but whether or not the Corinthians could understand it was only a concern for his welfare. But not that we are Lord, and this is the way that I thought this was a typo, but it's not. It says, not that we lord it over your faith, but we work it with you for your joy, because it is by faith you stand firm. So he wanted to come to see them, but he didn't want to visit because of everything going on, I said a number of times. But when we're honest and open, we get this healing spirit within us that no matter what anybody assumes about us or what they say, we can deal with it, we can live with it, and we can forgive. And that's the biggest thing, to forgive. See, three things happened through Jesus Christ that the Lord gave us. Number one is he anointed us. Number two, he sealed us. And number three, he gave the Holy Spirit as a deposit for our future. So through Jesus Christ, these three things were given to us. And we are to continue trying to pass this forward to others. And I don't know where I'm at for time, but I'm going to leave it right there. I've got pages I can keep on going with, but I would like to end it right there. And I'd like to say a little closing prayer, if you'd bow your heads. Mighty God, thank you that you are faithful to fulfill all our promises. You have said that faith comes through hearing of the word of God. Open our ears so that we may be attentive to your voice. Help us to listen and respond. Remind us that you are trustworthy. You never fail your children. Increase our faith to know that neither death nor life, angels or rulers, things present or future, height or depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from your love. In Jesus' name we pray, now and forever. Amen.
Our closing hymn will be Trust and Obey. Please stand with us. Trust and Obey. Church, I'd like to say before you leave, when you walk through these doors this afternoon, no matter where you go in this world, just remember the church goes with you, and so does the favor of Jesus Christ. So have a blessed week. May God always be with you. Amen.